Hey there, Angela Cote here on the third episode of the Franchise Growth Catalyst podcast. And I got to tell you, I am stoked. I've been wanting for the longest time to do a podcast or share some insights on why I try to talk people out of franchising. I talk to a lot of either really, really early stage franchisors or business owners that want to use the franchise model to grow their business. And I try to explain to them all the challenges and things that come up. And what I find, I feel like would probably be the most effective would be to connect those people that want to franchise their business and haven't gone through it with various clients I've worked with or people I've had conversations with who started down that path and realized, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought it is. I often use the phrase that I'm trying to bust the myth that franchising a business is turnkey. You know, we use the word turnkey in franchising a lot when it comes to selling a franchise as turnkey, but to franchise a business even seems sort of turnkey. Because when we franchise a business, it's like, oh, well, you know, there's going to be people that believe in it and they're going to follow the system and all that. So for today, I am bringing on with me a client who I am really excited to have join me, actually a brother-sister team who I adore, who have been through, and they're smiling and laughing right now, but who have been through some of the chaos, a lot of the chaos of early franchising and are gracious enough to come and join me on this podcast and share their some of their challenges and experiences they went through and the new direction that they're going. You know, these people, their names are Candace and Dave Combs. And I'll let you guys talk in a minute. Anyone that knows me knows that I like the microphone. But in true fashion here, I'm just trying to set this up here. But I love these two. They're energetic. They're passionate. You know, they have the DNA to succeed, but I feel that they were misled by, you know, maybe misled by people or just didn't have that person there in the early stages to help them see the realities of what they were getting into. So, I'd like to ask them some specific questions about the myths or the things that they found, but I'll start by letting you guys say hello.
Hi everyone, and we love you too, Angela.
Why don't we start with telling what your a little bit of your backstory, like what your business is, and you know what your original goal was. You know, let's grow this, and what you were thinking initially.
So I started this business 20 years ago. I was an engineer. I came out of the high tech world. I was really sick of just staring at computers all day, which is funny because it's kind of what I'm doing now.
Yeah, as we speak, but yeah.
I always knew at a young age I was going to work for myself. To be honest, I'm a terrible employee. I just don't like
working. I can see that in you because you're very creative and you want to make new things. I see it, yeah.
I just get bored really, really easily. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, I started it 20 years ago. It's 20 now. Yeah, 20. And Dave came on,
8 years ago.
And he was like the best thing that ever happened. He had gotten laid off from a job. I was like, oh, he was bored. He's mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm going to help out at the front desk. And mm-hmm. I was like, sure. And next thing you know, he was managing the entire place, which was great for me because I could really go, okay, what do I want to do? Like I could get even more creative than what I was doing. And 3 years ago about, we decided.
One sec here. We got to jump in because I don't know if we said, I don't know if I said, and I don't know if you guys said what the business is.
Oh, right. Duh. Thank you.
and that's pretty good. Well, yeah, there we go. And while I'm interrupting, I can't resist telling the audience how cute I think it is that you guys are a brother sister team. And when we do our calls, there's not even any fighting.
No.
They support each other. It's amazing. So, okay. So let's tell what the business is and then we'll get into the 3 years ago when you started down the franchising path.
I'm glad you said that. So I was an engineer. I came out of that. I started doing a lot of yoga, a lot of acupuncture. I decided to go to massage school and, I was trained by a Rolfer. I went on to massage school, I started doing really structural body work. Next thing you know, I'm like, all right, great. I'm going to start working with the entertainment industry, which was, I had friends who were in it. They, next thing I know, I'm working with Katie Lang on a weekly basis. And then it led into Natalie Merchant. I've worked with,
I've heard that part of the story. That's very cool.
Yeah. So In Symmetry, it's called In Symmetry Spa, but In Symmetry really was supposed to be an on the road, massage booking service for entertainers. And I've worked with tons of you. I've worked with Ron Howard. I've worked with Pink.
Wait a minute. We've been working together. I didn't know how you were like kind of famous. Now you're never getting rid of me.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I worked with a lot of people. They were super nice. Like I have to say entertainers were wonderful, but, I moved to LA. I didn't love LA. The people were wonderful, but I didn't love LA. I came back to San Francisco and sort of decided to not work as much with the entertainment industry. And there's many reasons. You get calls in the middle of the night. People are on tour. It can get really hectic. I didn't want to go out at midnight and do massages anymore. I'd work a lot of events and we'd actually work the entertainment. We weren't in the VIP section. We were literally in the entertainer section. So it was very, very demanding. I've worked all the big venues. I just sort of was like, I want at home. I'm a Capricorn. I want an at home spot. So I opened a spa and it kept growing. It was just supposed to be me and one other person. And it was just two rooms and it just kept growing. And then Dave came on. We built out a whole nother space. Yep. Dave came on. He started managing. And then what we thought was, when you look at franchising on paper, it's perfect. It's the perfect system.
Yeah, tell that. Like, why? Like, and first of all, actually, I often hear people say, "Well, I won't even zip. I'm going to zip my mouth." Tell me, where did the seed get planted, or how did you even know about what I call the F word?
Great, that is a good question. So, I was actually sitting in Hawaii. I was on Oahu, and I got an email, and it was the third time this guy had hit me up. And I get a lot of sales emails, but for whatever reason, this one really stuck out to me. And I was trying to figure out what was our next steps. And we're located in San Francisco. We only do deep tissue and sports massage and facials and waxing. We call ourselves a results-driven spa. We're totally different than all the other spas in the area because we're all about, helping someone. We're all about getting results. It's not about coming in and having a fluff massage or a fluff facial. Like we're really there for, hey, you need to be here once a week.
Right.
We had our membership program. We're doing really, really well. I was able to step away from my business for 4.5 months and go live in Hawaii. And I was working every day. Don't get me wrong. It was just, I didn't have to be,
in the business. Yeah. So this was a sign and you felt like you were growing and you're like, okay, what next? And so then you got this email from the sales salesperson, but an email from somebody who wanted.
Yeah. Who wanted us to franchise. And a part of why it really spoke to me that it's really hard to open up more places in San Francisco. Part of it is money. Guess what? Banks don't want to loan you money. Small businesses, banks don't want to loan you $300,000 to $400,000 to $500,000. Like in San Francisco right now, the same place we have right now, which is 1,345 square feet, would, and it has five rooms, would cost us $2 million right now in San Francisco.
Okay, so this is a really key point.
Yeah.
Getting into the myths. So this is perfect. We're getting into it because you're thinking, if I franchise, I don't have to spend the money to grow.
Right. Exactly. Right. Someone else can, and it's easier to get loans as a franchise unit. So we were like, oh, this is great. Someone else can have this money. Someone else will be able to do this and we'll lead them down the way. Because here's the thing. I was president of our merchants association. So I was a leader in the community. Every day, small businesses came to me to ask me, how do I do X, Y, and Z? How do I grow? How do I get to the place you are? There I am living in Hawaii. People are calling me every day. Like,
how did you do that? We want that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And I was just going to say, that's something I hear a lot too. So I hear when I just want to say this so that if anybody that's listening, in the audience is thinking of franchising, because I know I'm going to direct people to this so they can hear it from someone who's gone through it, that it's very common when you've got this independent business that, you know, you start to go, okay, I'm not even in the business. I should franchise because that's a good way to grow. And it's, there's going to be money coming in from the franchisee. They're going to invest the money, not me. And often it's because they start to get people actually suggesting it. Oh, you should franchise this. Oh, you should franchise this. And then, and then when you go to actually get it franchised, it's like, where'd those people go that said they wanted to franchise it and become a franchise?
Right. So we get this email from, I won't mention any of the names, from this gentleman. We end up speaking to the CEO of X company, and we were sold. Yeah. Because we were sold, what you said, you always say it's not a turnkey business. We were sold the idea that it was a turnkey business. Like, this is going to be franchise. Easy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys within... And it wasn't only them. There were so many people down the way who told us, oh, guys, once you get one under your belt, you're good to go.
Yeah. It's going downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. You're good to go. And when you get three, oh, my God, you're doing amazing. So Dave and I, the entire, and this came from, like, I can't even tell
multiple
you.
Sources.
I'd be a million.
Yeah, that's what's really sad. And I'm trying really hard to catch people before they hear those things. And actually, I think this might be a good point to, we once, in one of our recent calls, talked about, you know, how as an early franchisor like that, you start to realize that it is not so easy, and you start to trust people because you don't know, and you start to not listen to your own instincts.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. You throw your instincts out the door.
Here were my instincts. I've been doing this for 20 years. I was able to go to Oahu, live there for 4 months, have enough money in the bank, not worry about anything. Everything's getting paid. I'm golden, right? Yeah. All of those, I had never, ever, ever taken out credit, ever. I just had shied away from that. We had gone, when the dollar came in, the dollar, you know, that would be our money. Money coming in was money going out, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, great. We have an extra X amount of money, $10,000. Let's get an air conditioning unit. Oh, we have an extra $15,000. Let's redo the spot. It was only when we had it. I had never done credit. Mm-hmm. But then we're sold this idea of, oh, you're going to have all this wealth and you're going to, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay.
You're printing money. I'll never forget somebody told us that. Really? You're going to print money. Print money.
Yes. Oh, my God. We were told that so many times. Yeah.
So wait a minute. I just want to make sure I heard this right and say this out loud. When you franchise a business, are you saying you will not be printing money?
No, they said we
would. No, I'm saying, but you are confirming that's not actually true.
Oh, you will
it's not. True.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody that's listening, if you didn't know this already, make sure you hear this. When you franchise your business, you will not be printing money.
Absolutely. And you'll be spending it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went from having a complete surplus to being way in the red. Yeah. And we learned a lot. We wouldn't be where we are now without all of those experiences. And I'm grateful for them, but it was really tough. And it's because the way franchise is set up, there's a lot of salespeople. It's everybody you talk to is a salesperson until we met you.
Yeah.
You were the person. You gave me my come to Jesus moment about the 50 units. I mean, that was you. You know, you're not gonna hit royalty self-sufficiency at a minimum until you hit 50 units. And no one had ever said that, because people were like, oh, once you hit three, you're good to go. Or once you get over one, there were so many numbers, but definitely someone said by 10, you'll be gold. You're just like, oh my God.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I think, when I find I when I meet somebody who's been through some of the things that you've gone through, it's a lot easier for them to see the value in working with someone like myself or a franchise advisor that they know and trust. And, you know, it seems, and this is part of why I wanted to interview you here and chat with you about this, because it's like I can tell people this till I'm blue in the face, but for some reason they still think it's going to be easy, you know. And I try to, if they come to me and they've already started, I'll still say, you're not stuck. You can still, just because you're this far in doesn't mean you have to continue going. You could cut your losses, you know, because like you brought up, do you realize that the royalty self-sufficiency, the point at which you start to go, well, this was worth it because now we're really starting to make money. Yeah, typically it's at least 50 units. So,
and at that point you've spent, I mean, what would you say you spent? Like, I would say if you've hit 50, you've spent at least 500,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I'd say more than that.
More?
Yeah. I'd say a million, 1 to 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what people don't realize, right? Is that we thought, okay, let's spend 200 grand, right? We'll be able to get this thing. No.
It wasn't enough.
180
not even kind of.
was our stopping point.
Yeah.
And 180 hadn't even touched the surface. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's what people don't realize, because somebody out there is telling them, as soon as you do this, you're going to print money.
Yeah.
No. And that's that's the real problem with I think the industry. And then it is really at the end of the day, finding the right people. And at the end for us, we found all the right people, but it was, unfortunately, it was too late. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the biggest piece that no one had really said, lead generation.
Oh,
I mean, lead generation. Yeah. And there's so many companies out there that we had signed up with, and they were, you know, pay per click, which means Joe and Margaret, whatever, just got in a fight. And one of them went downstairs, said, I'm going to open my own business. And they go and look at franchises and they click on this. And that's, I pay $50.
Yeah.
It was, you know, late at night.
It might be just a totally dead lead, right? Like unqualified, irrelevant.
Yeah. That's all we got. And then we started talking to these other companies that said, oh, no, you can't do the pay-per-click. But if you pay us $20,000 a month, and I'll say it one more time, $20,000 a month, we can definitely get you leads. What?
Yeah. Right. So you go from like, okay, now you're, and at the same time, we're running Google AdWords at $500 to $600 a month, getting nothing. Because you can't, that doesn't even make sense. Google AdWords, you really got to spend $1,000+ to get anything anyway. My point is, in all of this, is that it just takes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So what I would tell anybody is, listen, it's a great idea. Go very, 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 very slow. Mm-hmm. If you get one if have someone like you, because that was the other piece. Once we got, we did have to get somebody on board. We didn't have the vetting process in there. So it wasn't
like to know the traits and characteristics of what you were looking for in a franchisee.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have been fed so many lies from so many salespeople that we didn't know, right? We had no idea what to look for in someone. I mean, we do now, right? But you have to have a person like you who can take you down that road to teach you how to vet someone. So you don't get yourself into a situation where you're like, oh my God, I gotta get out. Cause we were, to be honest, like we were quite miserable what Dave and I realized was that it wasn't what we were supposed to do. What we love doing, what we absolutely love doing, is helping small business owners get to the next level. And that wasn't going to be through franchising. But we only got to that point from working with you and realizing, oh, wait, really where we want to be is in a consult. We want to be consulting people and not opening more locations.
So. Let's come back to that, because I for sure want to hear a little bit more, like share a little bit more about what you're going to do now. But on the topic of the first few franchisees, you know, when I know, and I'm not the only one that knows, because people that are in these, you know, in the franchise advisory services and consulting and franchise attorneys, I would say the number one mistake I see franchisors or regret, the number one thing that they regret is is not, is that getting the wrong people. And it's not, yeah. it's not saying that that person isn't a good person. It just isn't.
Right.
And so,
100%. Yeah.
You know, and I see, oh, I just, we all see so often where the franchisor is now so desperate for money because they spent all this money to, you know, get to the, at least the starting point of having operations manuals and an FDD and like the legal documents and that, that they're just like, I just need those franchise fees so bad. And
yeah.
royalties.
Yeah. Desperation. They, it's just desperation.
Yeah, people totally, I ask so many people, I say, like established franchisors, even if they've got five, I'll say, and they've got like three that are not a fit. And I'll say, did you know when you signed the document with that person that like, did you have a gut feel that they weren't a fit, but you went, you kind of went anyway, thinking you could change them or whatever. And they're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's easy to say that for me just sitting here because I see it all the time, but I can imagine, you know, you're like, well, you know, I'm going to go back to, we talked about in the, at the beginning of this conversation, you know, about the franchisee. Well, I was kind of saying how it's like, it's turnkey. You're going to find franchise. You're going to find these people. This is what it looks like on the surface. And you can validate this that, okay, they love my brand. And if they're investing then in this and they're investing because they see that I have systems, well, they're going to work hard. And of course they're going to follow the systems. What are your thoughts on that? Would that be one of the myths that you experienced?
Oh, yes. So the one thing about franchising is that you assume that they're, people are going to listen, right? And you assume that they're going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, this has worked for you for X amount of time.
You've done this before. Teach me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What I've noticed is as a consultant, people really do take our expertise and love it every moment of it. Like, oh my God, thank you. So grateful. So wonderful. As a franchisor, it was like a war. It was weird. And I can't explain to you really why. There's something in it's about a vetting process. We didn't have a proper vetting process. And there's something in that, I don't know. It's a very,
and this is the thing. It's such an intricate dynamic or interesting and intricate, dynamic relationship where they invest this money and, a shout out to Greg Nathan. I don't know if I ever showed you guys, there's a concept that he has from Glee to We, and if anybody's listening and wants to look it up, it's really cool. There's a graphic, but the point is when the franchisee first starts, they're like, yay, this is awesome. This is going to be great. Everybody is like honeymoon phase. And then they start to question the fee. I might be missing a component, but it'll get the point across. They start to question the fee and going, why am I paying you a fee? I'm doing all the work. And then they get to the me stage where they're like, well, all the success is because of me, not you. So then they're starting to get angry. And then we want to, like, I forget the exact steps. We want to turn them to like see, you know, we want them to see what you're doing to them and then get them to we. So it's a partnership. And so it's very common where people question the fees and you can't really blame them. That people would question the fees, but I believe it all comes down to setting expectations in the beginning, which you didn't have anybody telling you needed to do that. Unfortunately, like there should almost be like a mandatory certification as a franchisor you have to get before you start, like just like you have to get an FDD and like, you know, legal documents. There's almost something that, like a course. It's almost like people say that with parenting, you know, like
yeah
you can't allow that person to be a parent. It's kind of the same with franchising. Like it should almost be like, do you realize you know, here's what you need to do. If you don't do this, you're going to be in big trouble, you know.
Exactly. Like if there's something about that relationship that becomes almost volatile, and you're right. A lot of it had to do with, we didn't have the proper vetting, and we didn't have someone like you who could set expectations. We had zero guidance at all.
Yeah.
And one other big mistake, and I will tell everyone this, don't sign franchisees that you haven't known for a very long time. And I'll say that over and over and over again. And if it's one party you've known for a very long time, but this other party comes in and you've known them for a very short time, make sure you put in that amount of time with that other party. Yeah. Or just sign the one party. Do not sign with people you don't
know. I see that a lot where you know, franchisors don't under or don't realize how much impact another stakeholder on the franchise side can affect them. And so I think what you're saying, when you say a long time, could you also do it in a, like, it might not, it might be about a long time or about the amount of vetting you're doing and the amount of intimate.
I would say amount of vetting.
Amount of vetting. That's what I would say.
When I'm sitting in a call with a client where we are like with a franchisor and we're having these calls with prospects and candidates, you know, I really say it in every call. It's like, we are trying to, this is such a big deal. Like, hey, prospect, this is a really big deal for you and for us. And we want to surface any red flags or challenges we're going to have for both, for everybody's sake. Like, we want to create a situation where everybody wins. And so, you know, we want to get that stuff out now. So like, the more we do, and when they understand that this isn't a sale, this is a relationship, you know, assessment, really, right? Like, we need
to. And you're constantly sold this idea that everything's a sale. It's almost like going to a car salesman. Mm-hmm. And you're like, sell, sell, sell. It's like Glengarry Glen Ross. Like, are you going to get a good lead? Are you going to sell it? So everything becomes about that. Whereas I would tell people, slow down.
Yeah.
Just slow down. Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Find a coach like you. Mm-hmm. Sit down with you. Figure out where they want their leads to actually come from.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. And by the way, I feel like people are going to think I'm paying you money to talk nicely.
No, because I wish I would have found someone like you. And I'll plug our attorneys too. Our attorneys were amazing, but we found them at the end. And our accountant was amazing, and we found them at the end. And we only found, we found you through our attorneys and our accountants. Like, they both said, hey, why don't y'all go to Angela Cote? Like, why don't you go? And the thing is that a lot of these companies sell you a package deal. Like, we're going to have it all. We're going to have every one house shop, one stop shop. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Don't just shy away from it. Cause you want everybody to be separate. Like, our attorneys were not connected to our accountant. Our accountant was not connected to you, but you guys all knew each other.
Right.
And everybody, but nobody was getting money from each other.
And so you're saying, I think what you're saying is to find the right people for each of those things that you know.
Yes.
Or if there's a package, maybe if you could know who are the people in the package that I'm vet each one of those or something like that. Right. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say our franchise attorneys were so wonderful that we made them our everything attorney.
Right. Oh, cool. I mean,
and our accountants, we kept around, and we kept around. Like, everybody we found at the end, when we decided we're going to go this other route, which was great and everything was wonderful. And you can reboot. You can reboot.
You don't, just because you went down that path doesn't mean you have to keep going. Right.
Right.
God, no.
Right.
Yeah. God, no. Yeah. Because every mindset is everything. Like
my poster behind me, if anybody's looking at this on YouTube. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, it is about starting over. Like, sometimes you go down a path to learn we learned so much so that we could get to where we are now. So.
Totally. And that's perfect. That's perfect segue. I do want to take a minute to let you share that, because I think it's really cool and inspiring. Just before we go there, I'm going to summarize what the myths I heard you say. Great. So one was that, you know, about the income, that it's, I guess you didn't exactly say this, but I know we've talked about it being like a passive income, like it's just going to be, well, we talked about it being turnkey. So that kind of covered that. So it's that you're just going to step back and money's going to come in, you know, and that it's just going to be easy. I think we talked about a little bit, we touched on the franchisee, you know, because they invested and they've got skin in the game, that they're automatically going to like believe in you and follow the system and all that. That's not necessarily true. You really need to vet them, and not just vet them, but have them vet you and just get really open and transparent in the relationship, set expectations, all that stuff. And then those things will fall into place. that to be careful, you know, just trust your instincts. Don't always trust everything everyone says. And I hate saying that because I love the franchise community. I truly, they're ridiculously amazing people.
Yeah.
Franchise community. And, you know, some people end up not getting that opportunity like you guys, you know, but I think you're like destiny because you've got a cool thing going on now. But anyway, that, sort of watch out for that. And then really just that the initial, that like, that you were going to make money right off the bat. That was, that was the myth that you somehow were led to believe. And you didn't realize that, no, like you, when you franchise a business, to have an idea to just do a few or 10 or 20 isn't enough. Like majority of businesses, it's 50 and up.
Yeah.
Unless you
God, I wish.
Really good economics, but
I'm so grateful for you that you're out there saying the truth. Because I do think, because I do think, I think you're right that the franchise community is made up of a lot of great people. The problem is that there's a lot of salespeople who got involved in it. And when there, you get sales, like from an engineering perspective, when I was at a lot of startups, and when the marketing team would constantly be like, we're going to do this and that and this and that and this and that. And the engineers were like, whoa, hang on. We can't, the product doesn't work like that. You're selling something that literally doesn't. And that's what happens. Right. So,
Yeah. I, this is probably a little bit, this podcast itself is a little bit controversial, you know, like the fact that I'm saying this, but I mean, it's who I am. I really, you know, and I don't mind helping people. I love helping people franchise their business, but I really want them to go in understanding the big picture, what they're really getting involved in. And what my biggest recommendation to anybody is to think about another corporate location or a couple more, you know, but when you do that, if you're doing that with the intention to franchise, then, you know, you can still work with someone like myself or, you know, a business coach to help you really systemize operations so that you're getting it organized before you start franchising. There's a bunch of things you can do to set up from the beginning. But okay. In the interest of time, I would love for you guys to share a little bit about this path that you're going down now, which I think is so phenomenal. So if you give me a 1 or 2 minute quick summary on that.
Well, we're doing business consulting, mostly in the health and wellness world. We love it. We're building clients like wildfire. It's crazy. Like being stuck in 3 years of like, I can't get a lead, to like people coming out of the woodwork now. It's something that we've been doing forever. I used to give away all my time for free and now I'm just monetizing it. Yeah. And we love it. Like it's, you know, we're working with a chair massage company, another skincare company. We have a couple of other spas. What we really want to do is help is it, instead of franchising spas, we want to say, okay.
That's okay. Yeah. It's all good.
I don't know what happened. We want to say, okay, you know what? If you want to open a spa, we can actually help you do that. We're not going to want a piece of it. We'll just help you do that. We'll help you all the way down, you know, the whole path. Yeah. And that's what we really love doing. We can help you.
That's the piece we absolutely love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Dave's the operations guy. And I'm
just going to say, you guys compliment each other so awesomely. Just for, you know me, I'm all about like getting really specific and clear. So maybe if you each share one of the areas that you, if a client were working with you, that your superpowers and your passion lie, so that if somebody were listening to this and wanted some help, they could go, oh yeah, I could. So like, you know, they would help me with this thing or that. So each of you, what's the one thing that's your favorite thing to help with in your superpower?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Go fight. Go fight. Yeah. Brother, sister.
I'm definitely the creative one. Not that Dave's not creative, but I am definitely creative. I can help people with marketing. I do all of our social media, everything that we do. I've also been doing this for 20 years, so I'm really great at guerrilla marketing, figuring out how to get clients.
If you hadn't added that in, I would have added that in for you, because in the time that I've known you, like your ability to like boots on the ground, go meet people, networking, speak at a thing, you know, that, and that's how we grew my family business, that, you know, we grew to almost 500 locations. Like it was really, that was a key component, that guerrilla marketing. So your side is the, not side, but because it don't mean sides, because there's all kinds of sides. There's all kinds of areas, but one of your superpowers is really that, like getting people to come in the door.
Yeah. 100%. And making it, and then mindset, right? I don't know. You can do this. Like we can do, a lot of people are really stuck they were where we were, right? They're like, how do I grow? Where do I get clients? We're great at that. Like I can go, okay. And what I do is brick by brick, you know, instead of people look at too much. They're like, okay, I gotta do this. And I am, one of my superpowers is like, nope, we're going to start right here. Just right here. Like
I was working,
I was working with a spa who was thinking all over the map. And I said, I just want you to do one thing. And now they started doing just that one thing. Yeah. And there's money.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's so good. Okay. And then Dave, I know what your superpowers, I think I know what they are, but I'll let you explain it. Besides being ridiculously handsome and a good singer.
Well, then there's that. Still doing that. I love
An incredible singer, by the way, if anybody's listening, and I don't know how you could, if you want, you could chime in on how they can hear you sing, but.
Thank you. General Maynard Band on Spotify. You can look that up.
And he's actually on YouTube too.
Yeah. My biggest thing is, of course, operations with systems. Coming up with systems so that, you know, let's say someone doesn't show up for work the next day. Somebody quits. You can walk in and take over their job immediately. And we've made everything real. I love things to be just stupid simple. I want everything to be as simple as possible. We use a texting app. Our friends developed this app called Coast.
They developed it with Dave. With Dave.
We developed it together, and it's been amazing. We put almost everything on there. We still use things like G Suite and stuff like that. But honestly, the majority of our day-to-day operations, our systems that we use for that, are all on this one app. It all lives right there. Mm-hmm. And it's made my life so much easier, make my job a lot quicker. And it's really easy, simple to teach someone, you know? So
systemizing and then just
systemizing.
It sounds like you're saying simplify too, like systemizing and simplifying. You said you like to get things really simple and like, yeah, like that whole, I don't know if we've ever talked about E-Myth by Michael Gerber. It sounds like you've already read it by the way you guys are talking. Well, especially the way Dave's talking here, but it's like, here's the manual. You just pull anyone off the street. You know, it sounds like Dave, that's your thing. Yeah. It's like, here, just like, you don't even almost need training because here, it's all right here.
Yeah.
Read this.
Read this and you'll be able to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally just trained 4 people in the last week because we just did a revamp because we're doing revamp right now. That's all we're doing in our business. Mm-hmm. And we are, by the way, the spa is slammed. We've never been this busy. And
yeah, it was meant to be, right? Like that you've pulled away from the franchising efforts to focus on this consulting and helping other people and being able to go in and go in and then get out when they're ready to go or whatever's necessary or keep going. But with not all that liability and all that heavy, heavy relationship stuff. And it's probably a lot more fun, I'm guessing. Yeah. So.
It is. I love my job again.
Yeah.
Good. You know? Yeah.
We have clients that have been coming to us for 15 plus years, you know, more than that. And I love it. I love being out there and talking to everyone. And we're Southern. We don't like to talk to people at all.
Hospitality. Yeah.
Much like our Canadian friends.
Yeah, I know. Come on in, make yourself at home, you know?
That's so awesome.
I will say one thing that we didn't cover, but you kind of went over it a second, just really quick. That thing about opening your multiple locations before you get to franchise, I wanted to go into that because I wish that would have been, again, with your guidance, that would have been what we would have done instead of going, you know, just having one location and going straight into franchising. You really need to have multiple. That's a real key.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason for that is you can test the model in another market, right? And it might give you more profitability to use towards the franchise company, right? I often say if you can get 3 units open, you know, even if it's a mobile business in your territories, but then you can, there's some cash flow there potentially.
Yeah.
I know there's probably debt to do it. But you know, you work that in your cash flow projections and things like that. So anyway, this has been fantastic. I said you guys, I just have the best energy. I love being around you guys. I'm not, fly by the seat of my pants a lot of the time, but I think at this point I should probably ask you what's the best way for people if they did want to reach out to you, which I'll put in the show notes or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll get some help with that.
You can follow us on Instagram at combsbiz, B-I-Z, consulting. Yeah. And you can also go to www.combsbusinessconsulting.com. If you're in San Francisco and you want a massage, In Symmetry Spa is definitely the place you want to go. And you go to insymmetryspa.com.
So. Awesome. Yeah. And just for the record, combs is spelt like the comb when you comb your hair.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And for us Canadians, the combs biz or whatever it was, it's the Z. We say Z. So if anybody's B-I-Z, but if you're in the U.S., it's B-I-Z. So, okay, we got that cleared up. Awesome. Okay. So, and it's process, not process. No, kidding. I'm not going to get into that.
No, it is true. It is true. Yeah,
but
aluminium. I picked up, I love aluminium. Aluminium is one of my favorite words. Instead of aluminum, aluminium.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've even heard that. Is that supposed to be a Canadian thing?
It is a Canadian. Yeah. Okay,
it's well, maybe by a Canadian.
You know, maybe we're from New Orleans too. We don't pronounce anything correctly. Yeah, so.
Right. All right. Well, awesome to have you too. And I look forward to seeing you guys on our next, in our next session together. And in the meantime, yes. I'm going to stay here. Go. You don't know my outro?
Oh no.
Wait. Go be awesome.
Go be awesome. Yay. Go be awesome.
Go be awesome. All right, you guys. Go be awesome.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrew.